Good morning, everybody. So the Mishnah says on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis in Psachim, the Mishnah says, Revi Gomer Alav Es HaHalel VeOmer Alav Birkas HaShir. So for the fourth kos in the Seder, so you finish up the Halel, so we begin Halel at the end of Magid. Say we have two Prakim of Halel. We stop. We have right. We have the Mitzvah Salayla, Matzah, Maror. We have the Suda, we have Afikomen, then we have Barech, and then we have Hallel. So it's saying that the fourth kos is where you finish the Hallel, and you also say Birkas Hashir. So the Gemara discusses what is the Birkas Hashir that the Mishnah is highlighting over here. That's not what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on Kuf Yod Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes a Braisa here, Tanu Rabbanan, Revi Gomer Alavis Hallel. Ve'omer Hallel Hagadol. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon adds to the fourth kos, right? He adds to our Mishnah over here. Our Mishnah again just says Gomer Lavas Hallel. He finishes Hallel. The Braisa says he finishes Hallel and he says Hallel Hagadol. So of course the question is what's being added over here by saying Hallel Hagadol. First of all, just shot wise, what factually, what is Hallel Hagadol mean? The Gemara is going to clarify that in a moment. And of course, the question is, why is this clearly is adding something that the Mishnah doesn't have? What's the significance of that? We'll come back to that shortly. That's Rabbi Tarfon. V'yesh Omrim, some say, Hashem Roi Lo Echzar. You say the Perek of Tehillim of Hashem Roi Lo Echzar, which is quite strange. What does that have to do with anything? On Pesach night, Hashem Roi Lo Echzar, of course, means Hashem is my shepherd, shall not lack. And okay, hopefully we'll see soon a little more to the Perek, but on the surface of it's got nothing to do with Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's also very a very individual perspective. It's all Haroi, it's written in the first person, and it's David HaMelech talking about his own experience. Why is it being added here? The Gemara asks, "Meheichan Hallel Hagadol?" So when Rabbi Tarfon says that you're supposed to say Hallel Hagadol, where does that begin? What is that referring to? Okay. So if you want to follow along, if having a Tehillim accessible could be helpful. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Mehodu Anaros Bavel." Okay, from Hodu Anaros Bavel. So what does that mean, Hodu Anaros Bavel? So if you look in your Tehillim in Perek Kuf Lamed Vav. So Perek Kuf Lamed Vav starts with, it's a Perek we're familiar with, Pesukei Dezimra, Shabbos, and Yontiv. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Okay, it's the long Perek there. And why is it saying Ad Naros Bavel? So if you look, Kuf Lamed Zayin is the next Perek, and that starts with Al Naros Bavel. So this... Well, what Yehuda is telling us is that when it says you say Hallel Hagadol, what it means is that after you finish saying the regular Hallel on the fourth coast, you're going to add this one Perek of Tehillim, Hodu, this Perek of Hodu. Okay, so Al Naros Bavel is Ad below Ad Bichlal. It's not including Al Naros Bavel. So saying up to Al Naros Bavel. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Mishira Malos Ad Naros Bavel. From Shir HaMalos until Naros Bava. Now, what is Shir HaMalos? What is that referring to? So that's not so clear. Okay, if you go back to Kuf Lamed Dalid, so that's two Prakim before this Parak, this long one of Hodu. Okay, it starts with Shir HaMalos, but if you keep going back, a whole bunch of them start with Shir HaMalos. So it's not so clear which Parak is he referring to. So I saw, that the Masifta in the back, they bring down the Achron, have a discussion, how far back is it going? It's not clear. In fact, if you go into different versions of the Gemara, the one that they quote in the Torah Or also goes back and forth. I think the simplest thing to me, it seems, is just to go back to the, we'll pull a little bit of Occam's razor here. Go back to the first Shir HaMalos that you hit. Going back to the first Shir HaMalos. And the reason we'll see, hopefully we'll get a why. But if you look at the next Shita also, the next shita says, "Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Michi Yaakov bar Bachar Lo Kah Ad Naros Bavel." Okay, So you're going back to the parak of Ki Yaakov v'Chalukah. Which one is that? So that's Kuf Lamed Hey. Kuf Lamed Hey doesn't start with the with that pasuk. Okay, it's actually it's pasuk Dalad in Kuf Lamed Hey. There's a discussion. Why does the Gemara quote this pasuk? You see, if you look in Kuf Lamed Hey, so Parak Aleph starts with Halukah. Sorry, Pasuk Aleph starts with Halukah, and Pasuk Gimel also starts with Halukah. So the question is, that supposed to be one Parak or two? So Ki Yaakov Bachar Lokah is referenced certainly to this Parak, and it didn't use the word Halukah. So some say because it wanted to know only this one, or it can go back to Pasuk Aleph also. Either way, what you'll notice is that the three Shitos, okay, everybody agrees you're starting that Kuf Lamed Vav is the starting point. The question is, and everybody agrees you're going until Naros Bavel. The question is, how far back do you start? So the Shita of Ki Yaakov Bachar Lokah is going back to Kuf Lamed Hey. And again, so I'm suggesting is that for Shira Malos, it's telling you just go back one more, which would be Kuf Lamed Dalet. So of course, it's interesting. What's the machlokas over here? For what we would start with Halal HaGadol. But again, everybody agrees that you'll start with Kuf Lamed Vav. At the very least, Kuf Lamed Vav you're going to do. The Gemara asks, Vilama Nikra Shmo Hal HaGadol. Why is this Perek, Kuf Lamed Vav, why is it called Hal HaGadol? Amar Rav Yochanan, Mivnei Shekarish Baruch Hu Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam U'mechalek Mizonos L'chol Beria. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu sits in the uppermost place in heaven, okay, and the most elevated place of the world, and he's giving out food, sustenance, to every creature. And the Rashbam explains, Yoshev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam, Dechsiv Bei, Nosein Lechem Chol Basar. That's the pasuk of Nosein Lechem Chol Basar. Okay, Vahainu Davar Gadol, and that is a Davar Gadol. Okay, so the Rashbam is giving us a little bit of help here. Where does Halal HaGadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mechalik Mizonos, where does that come in? So if you look again in Kuf Lamed Vav, towards the very end of the Perek, it has the pasuk Nosein Lechem Chol Basar Kili Olam Pasta. Okay, that's pasuk Chafed. Hashem gives bread to all meat, to all flesh, because His kindness is forever. So that's the reason, and as the Rashbam says, that's what the Gemara means. That's the Davar Gadol. It's interesting, if you look at the previous Rashbam, the Rashbam on Hashem Roi, okay, according to the Yesh Omrim, that we say the parak of Hashem Roi in the as not Halal Gadol, but in addition to the regular Halal, he says, why? Al Shem Hamazon She'achlu Tzarech Lomar. Because they ate bread. Because they ate food. So since food was eaten, so you have to say Hashem Roi. So it's not clear what is going on here. First of all, the one thing that Rabbi Tarfon and the Yesh Omrim seem to have in common is this idea of food. Okay, that much we can say. That's what Rashbam is telling us. Hashem Roi because we just ate food. And David HaMelech is talking about how he had food. Presumably, I mean, shouldn't say that. Halal Gadol also has to do with food. I mean, just to say it like that. No saying lechem. It's talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives food. So what does this have to do with, again, with Seder night and with the halal that we say at the Seder? If you think about this statement of Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshe Berumo Shel Olam U'mechazek Mizono Sechol Beria, it itself is an interesting language. It seems a little bit poetic, flowery. It's like that he's sitting, the Rumo Shel Olam, and the Pasuk says, No Sein Lechem Mechol Basar. All I had to say was, why is it called Halal Gadol? Because he's No Sein Lechem Mechol Basar. Why does the Gemara have to put in with the imagery that he's Yoshe Berumo Shel Olam and Mechalik Mizonos? Okay, and it's interesting, again, it's interesting, this is being added on to the fourth course. Okay, so just review this. There's a number of questions when you read this Gemara. First of all, why are we adding anything to Halal altogether? What is the machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and the Yesh Omrim on whether or not you should say Halal HaGadol, this parak with Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, or you should say Hashem Roi? And then within Rabbi Tarfon, that you're saying parak Kuf Lamed Vav, you have three shitos. And so what's the machlokas over there? And it's also interesting, again, what is this idea that no sein lechem chol basar makes it the halel hagadah? Okay. It's interesting that there's a big machlokas in the Rishonim about this halel hagadah, where it goes. The Rif's girsa is like this. Okay, on chafav and beis in the dape arif. So it starts on the bottom of chafav and alf, tana rabbanon. Chamishi omer alav halel hagadol, divrei Rebbe Tarfa. So the way the Rif has it is that halel hagadol gets its own kos. It's a kos chamishi. It's not said on the fourth kos. V'yesh omrim, Hashem ravi lo asa. And then the rest of the Gemara, so he quotes the three shittos within Rebbe Tarfa. But it's very interesting. According to Rebbe Tarfon, it turns out we have a fifth kos. And the Rif at the end, he says, "Umin Hagadama Krav Yehuda, okay, b'tarvayu b'berkos Hashir uve halal gadol." So he says we go like Rav Yehuda, in which case we have a fifth kos. So the Baal Amor jumps on this right away, and he says, "What's going on here? A fifth kos? Who ever heard of five kosos? It's arba kosos." Okay, so the Baal Amor says the Rif is it can't be. We can't go like Rabbi Tarfon. How could it be? He says we paskin arba kosos. He says lo yifchasu lo ani. When the Mishnah says in the beginning of our Pesachim that you have to give an ani for all the kosos, it doesn't say you have to give them for five. You have to give them for four. So the Baal Amor says Rabbi Tarfon is being cholik on everybody, and it can't be we paskin like him, and that's why our Mishnayos. Leave him out. The Ramban, comes to the defense of the Rif with harsh words against the Baal Amor. He says the Baal Amor didn't know how to read the Rishonim. He just wanted to attack the Rif. And the Ramban says, and he has a good defense. He says, listen, the Gemara itself has a discussion about the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon. It asks, okay, what is Rabbi Tarfon's Shita? Where do you start from? The Ramban says, the Gemara doesn't usually do that unless it's a halacha lemaisa, unless it's a Shita we can go by. Otherwise, why is the Gemara asking, well, according to Rabbi Tarfon, where are you going to say halal gadol? Who cares? So the Ramban says, no, we hold like Rabbi Tarfon. A fifth kos, the Rif has the gears of the fifth kos. So the Ramban says, no, what Rabbi Tarfon means is that you can have a fifth coast upon which you'll say halal gadol. Okay, the Ramban has the lashon of rishus. It's a rishus. Okay, and he says the Mishnah says you only give the ani arba kosos. Why? Because that's the chova. The chova is to give an ani arba kosos. But there's a rishus for a fifth coast. And that's what the Rif means. Okay, so it comes out interesting. It comes out like this. How many positions do we have? Again, our Gemara says that halal gadol is on the fourth. The Rif, the way the Baal Amor understands the girsa of the Rif is that it's a machlokes. Is there a fifth kos altogether? Rabbi Tarfon holds that there's a fifth kos, and our Mishnayos and Gemara hold there's no fifth kos. Okay, and then the Ramban is telling you no, it's not. It's true the halal gadol is on the fifth kos, but it's a rishus. It's a rishus.
And if you don't,
it's fine.
Then you don't do halal gadol either.
That's what it sounds like. If you want to do it, fine. You can say if you, it gets into discussion of drinking after arba kosos. So if you want to drink, so have your fifth kos, and you can say halal gadol on it. You have a fifth kos. Okay, the Ran actually has the lashon of not just the rishos; it's a mitzvah min hamufchar. But the Ramban's lashon is they were misaking arba kosos derecheros, and there's a fifth one which is rishos. If you think about it, it's a little more of a halachic machlokas. But if you think about it brings out the point over here, which is. The issue that needs to be investigated is what is the relationship between halal gadol and what we're doing? It does seem, if you will, out of place. And that's why in the Rif's Girsa, and certainly the way the Baal Amor has Rabbi Tarfon, halal gadol is really it's its own coast, it's its own thing. It's got nothing to do with the arba kosos. But if we can, I'd like to think about what is this machlokes about halal gadol. Does it go on kos revi? Does it have kos chamishi? And should it be a mitzvah? And if it's a kiyum, what kind of kiyums? Okay, if you look in the discussion between the Balamor and the Ramban, they don't mention any of these.
The Rebbe
mentions it, yeah. I think that's what gets into discussion. That gets into relationship to the Birkas Hashir with the Nishmas and Yehalalucha. Presumably, that's the discussion Machlokas Rishon. I mean, the way we have it, we have Halal Gadol on the fourth coast. And then it's a question of, okay, when do you put a Nishmas Yehalalucha on the Chasimah? How many times are you going to say the Bracha? Yeah. Okay. So the Halal Gadol itself. Yes, we'll start there. You see, if you look in Parakuf Lamed Vav, and this seems to be the starting point of the discussion. How does Parakuf Lamed Vav begin? Parakuf Lamed Vav begins, Hodu Lashem Kitov Kiliolam Chasta. Okay, Hodu Elohim Kiliolam Chasta. So right away, right, the Tehillim, this Perek, it thrusts you into what framework? What is it really interested in talking about? What is the topic, the theme of the Perek? It is Hodash, certainly, Hodum, but on what? Okay, well, it's true. Bria Sa'olam, right? Bria Sa'olam. But it's really li'olam chasdo. It means to say is the chesed Hashem is forever. It's universal. Okay? And if you think about the refrain in the Tehillim is li'olam chasdo, li'olam chasdo. Everything is there in order to guide us and to have us, you know, reflect upon, focus on that the chesed abore is li'olam. And how does it guide you there in the beginning? It's through Bria Sa'olam. Okay, so Pasuk Dalet is Leosei Niflos Kedolos Levadu Kiyolam Chastom Leosei Hashemayim Besuno Kiyolam Chastom Leroka Aretz Alamayim Kiyolam Chastom. And then you have the pasuk we quote every day in Tefillah Leosei Orim Gedolim Kiyolam Chastom. Okay, and you notice, okay, and that's really what the bracha in Tefillah is picking up on is that it doesn't say Leosa. Okay, in the past tense it's Leosei. Okay, and that's where the bracha says mechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid. It's a constant thing. But from our perspective, God is renewing the creation because, of course, if God's will was for the universe not to exist, then wouldn't exist. So it's continuously giving existence to the universe. And the next pasuk can go on with the sun, the moon. Okay, pasuk yud transitions away from Briasa Olam into what? Into Mitzrayim. Lemake Mitzrayim Bivchoreim Kili Olam Chasda. Okay, and then it goes through Kriyas Yamsuf, and then it goes talks about the Midbar. Then you have Lemake Melachim Gidolim Kili Olam Chasda. The wars that we fought takes us all the way. Okay, discusses things that happened, bringing us into Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Chaf Aleph V'Nasan Arzul Menachala Kili Olam Chasda. Okay, and then pasuk of Gimel. Shebishiflenu zachar lanu kilam chasto, bivkreinu misarenu kilam chasto. So I said there's a machlokas rishonim over here when it talks about that God remembers us in our lowly state. It's a little more of a general statement after talking about particular events about God took us out of Mitzrayim. So is this just a summary of how God remembered us in our lowly state of Mitzrayim? Some say it's referring to asid lavo. We're going to be in a lowly state, and we'll have the geula asidim. And then you have Pasuk Chaf Hei. No sein lechem l'chol basar kil yolam chasto. Hodu l'kel ha-shamayim kil yolam chasto. So it's an interesting, you know, flow over here in the psukim. It starts with talking about the universals, talks about Briyas Shemayim Va'aretz, goes into Yitzias Mitzrayim and bringing us to Eretz Yisrael, goes back to, okay, something natural and universal. No sin lechem v'chol basar kilam chasto. Okay, but this is not really right. Talking about, it's not the same thing as osei hashemayim. Osei hashemayim b'svuna kilam chasto. There is talking about actually, you know, just some natural phenomenon itself. Here it's talking about how he gives us sustenance, the impact it has on us directly. And it goes back, and it finally finishes hodu l'kel hashemayim kilam chasto. So the question is, what's going on in this perek? What's the nature of the transition over here? Again, the universal particulars and then going back to a universal. And so why is this called Halach Haggadah? Okay. But just as an observation, I mean, you see from this parak alone that apparently there is some kind of idea that you go from the experiences or talking about Shevach of Yetzias Mitzrayim to what? To talking about, if you will, Halach Haggadah, no saying lechem l'chol basar, k'dil pasta. That's not the chiddush, so to speak, of Rabbi Tarfon or the Brice. That's David HaMelech in this parak of Tehillim. That's what he's doing. Question is why? But again, why is this the culmination of the parak, and why is the Gemara calling this a Halach Haggadah? Okay. So I thought that perhaps try to bring the point home. To review a parak in the Mora, which we've heard often, maybe just to review a little bit and to try to highlight a couple of lines. Okay, so this is from Book 3, Chapter 12, where the Rambam is talking about the evils in the world and how people perceive and experience evil. So the Rambam says like this: he says, men frequently think that the evils in the world are more numerous than the good things. I'm reading from the Friedlander, it's page 267. Okay, so people think evils in the world more numerous than the good things. Many sayings and songs of the nations dwell on this idea. They say that a good thing is found only exceptionally, whilst evil things are numerous and lasting. Not only common people make this mistake, but even many people who believe they are wise. Okay. He says, Al-Razi wrote a well-known book on metaphysics. Among other mad and foolish things, it contains also the idea discovered by him that there exists more evil than good. For if the happiness of man and his pleasure in the times of prosperity be compared with the mishaps that befall him, such as grief, acute pain, defects, paralysis of the limbs, fears, anxieties, and troubles, it would seem as if the existence of man is a punishment and a great evil for him. This person starts counting all the evils that exist. So listen to what the Rambam says. It says, the origin of the error is to be found in the circumstance that this ignorant man and his party among the common people judge the whole universe by examining one single person. For an ignorant man believes the whole universe only exists for him, as if nothing else required any consideration. If, therefore, anything happens to him contrary to his expectation, he at once concludes that the whole universe is evil. So the Rambam is a psychological, I guess, and also philosophical point that the Rambam is making over here. He's saying, why do people think that there's more evil? Because they look at their own experience, they look at an individual experience, and based on that individual experience, they universalize, they judge the whole universe. So you'll find a person who they have a lot of bad things in their life, and they say, look, so that tells you that the universe is bad. He says, if, however, he would take into consideration the whole universe, form an idea of it, and comprehend what a small portion he is of the universe, he will find the truth. For it is clear that persons who have fallen into this widespread error as regards the multitude of evils in the world do not find the evils among the angels, the spheres and stars, the elements, and that which is foreign to them, okay, the minerals and plants, or in the various species of living beings, but only in some individual instances of mankind. They wonder that a person who became leprous in consequence of banned food should be afflicted with so great an illness and suffer such a misfortune, or that he who indulges so much in sensuality as to weaken his sight should be struck with blindness and the like. So Rambam again is saying, what happens is, people think the universe exists for the sake of mankind. They look at men and they see that people are suffering. So look, the whole universe what's the point of the universe? It's just causing people bad. He says, what we have to consider is this: the whole mankind that present in existence and a fortiori every other species of animals form an infinitesimal portion of the permanent universe. He quotes Pesukim to this effect. He says, it is of great advantage that man should know his station and not erroneously imagine that the whole universe exists only for him. We hold that the universe exists because the Creator wills it so. That mankind is low in rank as compared with the uppermost portion of the universe, with the spheres and the stars. Okay, jumping a little bit. Man's existence is nevertheless a great boon to him, and his distinction and perfection is a divine gift. So here the Rambam says two things. The Rambam says, first of all, he says, who says that the universe is created for man? Why is man the be all and end all? That's how you judge if the universe is good, that you just look at the experience of man and say, is it good or not? Since there's many other parts of the universe, we're just a small part of the universe. But then he says, if you look at the existence of man, he says, it's a great boon to him. Okay? There's great benefits. The numerous evils to which individual persons are exposed are due to the defects existing in the person themselves. Okay, and the Rambam here introduces his idea, his theory, that the evils that befall man are of three kinds. The first kind of evil is that which is caused to man by the circumstance that he is subject to genesis and destruction, or that he possesses a body. So here the Rambam goes on, this is an idea he elaborates here and elsewhere, that the very nature of coming into being and coming into existence and going out of existence, that comes along with certain things that just have to happen. That's just the nature of matter. And so while we experience it, okay, like so Jesus says, you know, in order for things to generate, there are things that have to degenerate, okay? And the only way that degeneration is going to occur is if there's going to be some type of, you know, falling apart of the physical matter. That's going to bring about certain results in a person. So if a person complains about that, either Ram says that's basically complaining about existence. I mean, that's just the way a person has to exist. So Ram is not saying that these things don't occur. He says, but that is part of the way we're designed. Okay. And he says, though, he says, at the end of the day, he says, he thinks that this category is a very small part of the evils that people suffer. Okay. That's number one. Number two. The second class of evils comprises such evils as people cause to each other, when, for example, some of them use their strength against others. These evils are more numerous than those of the first kind. Their causes are numerous and known. They likewise originate in ourselves, though the sufferer himself cannot avert them. This kind of evil is nevertheless not widespread in any country of the whole world. Okay, so the Rambam here is talking about how there's a lot of suffering that's caused just by other human beings. So he says that evil originates in man. Doesn't originate in the universe itself. That just people choosing to act in evil ways and to harm others. Finally, the Rambam says the third class of evils comprises those which everyone causes to himself by his own action. What people do to themselves. He says this is the largest class and is far more numerous than the second class. It is especially of these evils that all men complain. Only few men are found that do not sin against themselves by this kind of evil. And the Rambam says, he says, when people pursue taivas and they pursue things which are not necessary, this is going to cause different types of harm. It can cause harms to the body. He says it can also cause harm to the soul. He says, so if a person eats in certain ways, so they end up having an excessive desire. And then either they satisfy it in unhealthy ways or they don't get what they want and then they end up in pain. Okay. Says the desire is without limit. Okay. Yeah. Says people will put themselves in great danger to do these things, to get these luxuries. So the Rambam says like this. Okay, here's what I want to draw our attention to. The Rambam says, he says, all the difficulties and troubles we meet in this respect are due to the desire for superfluous things. When we seek unnecessary things, we have difficulty even in finding that which is indispensable. For the more we desire to have that which is superfluous, the more we meet with difficulties. Our strength and possessions are spent in unnecessary things and are wanting when required for that which is necessary. Here's the key line. Observe how nature proves the correctness of this assertion. The more necessary a thing is for living beings, the more easily it is found and the cheaper it is. The less necessary it is, the rarer and dearer it is. So, for example, air, water, and food are indispensable to man. Air is most necessary, for if man was without air a short time, he dies. Whilst he can be without water a day or two. Air is also undoubtedly found more easily and cheaper than water. Water is more necessary than food. For some people, it can be 4 or 5 days without food, provided they have water. Water also exists in every country in larger quantities than food and is also cheaper. The same proportion can be noticed in the different kinds of food. That which is more necessary in a certain place exists there in larger quantities and is cheaper than that which is less necessary. So the Rambam is saying that which man needs to exist is found in plenty, okay, it's much more accessible to people than that which a person doesn't need. So he says, you see that we have, the world is designed for us to be able to exist by giving us what is necessary. He says, this shows the kindness of God to his creatures, even to us weak beings. Yeah. He says, in these two ways, you will see the mercy of God toward his creatures, how he has provided that which is required in proper proportions and treated all individual beings of the same species with perfect equality. In accordance with this correct reflection, the chief of the wise men says, all his ways are judgment. Okay, and he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Tov Hashem lakol v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. For it is an act of great and perfect goodness that he gave us existence. Okay. So what the Rambam is drawing our attention to over here is that when a person appreciates how nature is designed, a person sees that it's designed in a manner in which human beings can exist in a good way. And if they were only to stick to what was necessary for their existence, a lot of the evils that we experience would fall away. So essentially, this is very much actually in line with Perek Chaf Gimel in Tehillim, that parak of Hashem Roi Lo Asar. Because what is this idea? God is my shepherd, and I do not lack. So it's fascinating. The Malbim says that this parak of Tehillim, okay, is David HaMelech reflecting back on his life as a king, and he's actually saying that he wishes he could go back in time to when God was his shepherd. Okay, what does that mean that God was a shepherd? So he says, because when he was younger, before he was a king, what was he doing? He himself was a shepherd out in the fields with the sheep. And he said he had nothing. What was he doing? He had everything he needed. And then he could just basically just sit and learn. He says, there's no Zmiros Yisrael. He can just enjoy. And he talks about how he did not want to become king. He didn't want it. And this parak of Tehillim is how he longs to go back to the day. Okay, he says, he had this great yearning to go back to this life of being alone. And he constantly remembered back to the days before he had, okay, before he had the throne, before the crown was on his head. And he says, the Malbim points out, David HaMelech called himself an Ani Vidal, even while he was a king, because ultimately he recognizes that the only one he was dependent on was Hashem. Everything else was unnecessary. That's what David HaMelech is saying here. Hashem roi lech lo echzer. Oh, okay. So going back to the Gemara, the Halel HaGadol. So what does it mean to say it's the Halel HaGadol? So I think building on what the Rambam said, the idea that the world is built in a way, it's designed in a way in which every being has what it needs to exist. Like the Ram says, it's a reflection of the greatest chesed Hashem. That a person has what's necessary to exist should strike a person as an expression that the Ratan Hashem is, that God wants us to exist. He gave us the means to be able to exist. The problem is, like the Rambam says, that we get caught up in our own experiences, and we have misplaced priorities and values, and we project from our own distorted framework on the universe as a whole. But the Halel HaGadol means to say is no sin lechem mechol basar kilam chasto. That statement should have a certain impact on a human being, where it triggers a certain degree of hodah, the halel shevach la Hashem, on the way that the world is designed for us to be able to exist. It really brings out the idea of our existence, and that should create a certain impact on a human being, that they should have an expression of shevach v'hodah la Hashem. See, what does it mean it's gadol? What does gadol mean in this context? Why is it called a gadol? Gadol means, it doesn't just mean like it's the greatest. In this context, I'm not sure that the halal ha-gadol means to say is that this is the greatest idea, nosim lechem uchol basar. I mean, you have like in the beginning of the parak of Kofamid Vav, it talks like la'osei ha-shamayim b'svuna. So the chachmas Hashem that goes into the Tabriyas Ha'olam that's beyond us. I mean, in a sense, you could say that's. I mean, that's davar gadol. That's the real davar gadol here versus a davar katan. It's called halel hagadol because, insofar as the human experience is concerned, as what triggers an obligation to give shevach v'hoda l'Hashem, what makes an impact on us that we can have the ability to appreciate how God wants us to exist, it's this phenomenon of nosin lechem l'chol basar kili olam chasta. Okay, see, and gadol has to do with reflecting greatness. What says gedula liyotzer bereishis? So this brings to mind the idea of the greatness of the Chesed Hashem when we reflect on Nosin Lechem L'chol Basar. Okay. So, yeah, perhaps this can explain the imagery. The imagery. Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam U'mechalek Mizonos L'chol Beria. What's the imagery? Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam. So it has to strike us that in the... Like, you see, that's what the Rambam was saying. That on the one hand, we say that the universe is much more vast than the human existence. We are an infinitesimal part of the existence. Okay? Animal life, plant life, human life is very small in the whole scheme of the universe. And yet, what do we see? No same lechem mechol basa. The Yoshe Berumo Shalom, the imagery of the Yoshe Berumo Shalom, I think it brings out that idea. There is this vast universe out there upon which God is above that. And yet, what do we see? That God is concerned even with the existence of what? A beria, a small beria, shvela, okay, shvela ketana, lowly, small creature, and yet God is concerned with it. That is a reflection of the chesed habore, how far the chesed habore extends. Similar to what David HaMelech says, ma enosh kitis karenu. What is man that God should take notice of him? And yet, God does. So here also, Yoshe Berumo Shel Olam brings to mind this idea that it's unfathomable to us how, why it should be this way, but it is, and it's a reflection of the Ratzon Hashem, which is the Chesed Hashem. And what? Correct. And it brings, you see, and that explains why it goes Nosin Lechem, but then it goes Hodu L'Kel HaShemayim. That's right. Okay, because it wants that the Shevach Hashem always be brought back to the design of the universe as a whole. Okay, good. So with this, when you look at Parakuf Lamed Vav now, okay, going into the flow of the Pesukim. So again, it starts with Briyas Shemayim Varetz, okay, Briyas Olam, goes to Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Nisim and flows to Bnei Yisrael, and then back to Nosin Lechem L'chol Basar. So the Radak says, Nosein Lechem, Achar Shesiper Chasto Al Yisrael. After talking about the Chesed to Klal Yisrael, Omar Bitachlis HaMizmar. He says, as the culmination of the Mizmar, Chasto Al Kol HaChayim. Okay? Kemoshe Omar Bitachlis HaMizmar, Chasto Godo Al Kol HaOlam. See, what the Radak is telling us is that Yitzias Mitzrayim is a particular manifestation of Chesed. But the tachlis of the Mizmor is to bring our attention to the Chesed Abori that exists, al kol ha'olam, on everything. So the Parak is framing Yitzias Mitzrayim, the events, the Hashkacha to Klal Yisrael, as a particular expression of the Chesed Hashem, okay, which has to be recognized that it's only a particular and that there's a much greater universal system at play also. And so that would explain it. It starts off talking again about universals. It shows that the universals that are the Chesed Hashem that's expressed in Briya Shemayim Varetz is also expressed in how God treated Bnei Yisrael. He redeemed us and he brought us into a manner in which we can exist in a proper framework. And then what it's saying is, but that same Hashkacha towards Klal Yisrael, that same Chesed to Klal Yisrael is really Al Kol HaOlam, because God wants the existence of everything that exists here, every l'chol basar, all flesh. So it's a beautiful movement of how the idea of the universal gets expressed in a particular, but it has to always be brought back to the universal. Okay. Very good. Okay. Very good, man. Okay, so hold on to that idea. I want to come back to that. I think it's going to come up with one of the shittos. When we say Birkas HaMazon, There's nothing in the bracha about the food that you just ate. What the bracha is about is that the world is designed. So everybody can eat. We are that experience of eating should really reflect, bring us to reflect on the system as a whole. Okay. So with this, maybe just to address now the question of the fourth and the fifth course. You see from David HaMelech in this parak that it's almost like a requirement that when a person reflects on Yetzias Mitzrayim, part of the way they reflect on Yetzias Mitzrayim is in the framework of the Olam Chasdim. That they see it in a manner in which it really reflects not just how the Borei Olam relates to Klal Yisrael, but again, that he wants all of humanity to exist properly and give it real existence. If that's the case, so you can understand why it would be, okay, then on the night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, okay, if you go, let's say, with our Gemara. When we're saying Hallel on Yetzias Mitzrayim, what did Rabbi Tarfon come along and tell us? Rabbi Tarfon come along and said, don't stop just with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, don't stop just with the notion of the Gula. So there's a discussion in the Rishonim, right? Is the Hallel after Birkas Hamazon, is that on the Gula Asida? Okay, or some say, I think Shibulei, like it says, no, it's really also on Mitzrayim, but they wanted it to surround the Seuda. They wanted it to have it surround the Seuda. But either way, the simple understanding of Hallel, if you don't have this notion of Hallel Gadol, is that you're saying Hallel on Gula. But Hallel Gadol introduces the idea that it shouldn't stop just with the idea of with Klal Yisrael and Gula's Klal Yisrael. It really should be a reflection of Kiyulam Chasto. And if a person doesn't bring it to that next level, there's something lacking in their appreciation of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, to a certain degree, we have this in the Sipur Nisim V'Niflaos itself, because as the Ramban talks about at length, both in Bo and in Yisrael, the Ramban says, in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, okay, that in that Dibur, it's Asher Otesicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Why? So the Ramban says, because Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us Yisodei Ha'amunah. It teaches us about God's existence and how to relate properly to the Borei Olam. So there is this idea that when we're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're analyzing these ideas about the Borei. The question isn't so far as Shevach V'Hodah is concerned. Meaning that, if you will, is a philosophical statement. The Ramban over there is talking about philosophically. If one understands Yetzias Mitzrayim, the event, it will lead to certain philosophical conclusions about God. That he exists, that there's hashkacha, that he knows what's going on, the ruts. But this is going a step further and saying, it's not enough just to know certain things about God. You have to have an experience of Shevach V'Hodah L'Hashem on the way he designed the universe, because Yetzias Mitzrayim, again, is just a particular of how God relates to mankind in general. That's really the Hallel HaGadol. And if you hold this on the fourth coast, it means to say is, it's a kiyum in the Hallel HaMitzrayim itself. Okay. Perhaps, okay, to bring it to more of a halachic, okay, context, you can start seeing the machlokas now. Because on the one hand, again, going along with the Perek and Kuf Lamed Vav, it's a kiyum in the Gavra's state of Shevach that he moved from Mitzrayim to Hallel Gadol, Nosin Lechem L'chol Basar Kilom Chasdam. But the question is, if you will, as a Maisa, is it the same Maisa of Shevach? Okay, so I think, okay, perhaps we can suggest that the way that the Baal HaMor has Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon is saying, well, sorry, even before, Rabbi Tarfon holds, it's nice philosophically. It's nice philosophically, but what does Rabbi Tarfon say? It's a totally different statement of Shevach. The Seder is supposed to be about what? Sibor, Nisim, V'Niflo, Shinasu, Lavasenu, Mizrayim, Belel, Chamishasa. You want to start talking about Kiliolam Chasto? That's very nice. That's not the Arba Kosos. Arba Kosos is Geula. That's the theme. To start talking about other ideas, again, and you can say philosophically it's a nice thing, because that's a different... And according to Rabbi Tarfon, they actually set it up as a separate mitzvah. Okay? But the Ramban is saying is no, it's not that it's a separate chiyuv. Okay? So the Ramban agrees like this, though. The Ramban and the Rif, they differ with our Gemara in that... They agree that it's a kiyum to do it, since it's a separate maisa, it has to go on a separate kos. It gets its own kos. Okay? Again, it's just like, if you will, it's a separate pasuk, it's a separate event, it has its, so therefore it requires a separate kos. But the Ramban agrees that since it's only a kiyum, it's not a real mitzvah. It's not a real mitzvah. It's only in our Gemara do we find the idea that this kiyum agavra was formulated that it should become part of the maisa on the fourth coast. There should be this direct move of the gavra, so to speak. It should be like in one movement. He's talking about halal on Yitzias Mitzrayim, Gula. He needs to move to the universal, to the Kili Olam Chasda. And that's the way we have it. It's all part of the fourth coast. Okay. What's the machlokes? Okay, now I think you could go, what's the machlokes? What kind of shita is this? The Geish Omrim. The Geish Omrim that says, no, Hashem Ravi lo Echzar. God is my shepherd, not like. I mean, what's okay? And it's a very moving parak, right? Gam keilach legeitz al maves lo ira rak yata imadi, even in the shadow of death. Okay, and that's part of the idea. If you look at what we've shown in there, David HaMelech is saying, I don't really need anything else. I just need the Borei Olam, the way that God designed the universe. That's enough for me. Whatever else is going to happen, it doesn't really matter to a certain degree. So it's an interesting thing. Why would you say to talk about Hashem Ravi lo Echzar more than Halal Gadol itself? Why would you want to choose that parak? Yeah. You see, what's interesting, you see, the Rambam made this point. The Rambam said, you know what the problem is? He says, people project from their own individual experience onto the universe. David HaMelech showed us how to have the proper individual experience, to take the universal and to internalize it in a manner in which it becomes the way, you know, the hashkafa, the way the person sees the entire world. Hashem Ravi Lo Echzar was David HaMelech taking these ideas and telling us how he looked in his, he lived that experience. The advantage of Hashem Ravi Lo Echzar is that it takes it from the universal idea and actually shows us how a human being can internalize it and live according to the principle. And perhaps that's the discussion. The discussion is, and you think about it, again, it's in line with the whole, you know, Seder HaLaila, the whole idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim, right, is that a person is liros et atzmo, ki'ilu yatza. There is an individual realization that has to take place on Seder night. Here, the question is, does that even go so far with the Halal HaGadah? Rabbi Tarfon said, it's enough to make the move that you just express it. That you express this universal idea that Yitzias Mitzrayim is to be viewed as a particular expression of the Chesed HaBorei in general. The Yesh Omrim is saying, it's better to go a step further. Use the individual words, the first person words of David HaMelech, because that targets the real, if you will, the real key and the perfection to be realized in a human being through the lived experience in a manner, again, in which it covers the philosophical perfection and it gets rid of the problem that the Rambam was talking about. That a person use the individual to project onto the universal. It's supposed to be the other way around. They use the universal to guide how a person feels individually. I think that's it's not a fundamental machlokas. It's a question of, in this night where a person is supposed to imagine themselves as leaving Yetzias Mitzrayim, they're supposed to be viewing themselves in a certain way. When it comes to the experience of Halal HaGadol, what is the appropriate statement to make? Is it appropriate to leave it in the universal? Or there also do you say, no, it's appropriate to take it and put it into the personal framework and following David HaMelech. Okay. I think to your point, again, it really shows how it's a lived experience. It's not just something nice to say at the Seder. It's David HaMelech, which is what Tehillim is in general for us. Tehillim is David HaMelech showing us how a person is supposed to experience the ideas of Torah, the philosophy. Okay. There's the famous Gemara with Rabbi Akiva. I think maybe I say a similar idea. The famous Gemara in Brachos with Rabbi Akiva. Called Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. That everything that Hashem does is for good. So the Gemara, it's a fascinating story because the Gemara says that that's what Rabbi Akiva used to say. And then it has a story. What's the story? The story is they were traveling and he had a fire, a chicken, and a donkey, right? And in the middle of the night, the wind blew out the fire. A weasel ate the chicken, and a lion came and ate the donkey, right? And he said, don't worry, call David Rachman. They woke up in the morning, and it turned out the city next door was sacked by robbers. And he says, oh, didn't I tell you that it was for good? Because had the candle been lit, they would have seen us. Okay, had the shaken been alive, it would have made noise, it would have heard us. And so too with the donkey, it would have made noise, it would have heard us, they would have gotten us. Says Aisha, I told you, called the Bayi Rahman, you know, Abu Rahman Lutalavid. So it's somewhat of a perplexing Gemara, because let's say there were no robbers there that night and they didn't ransack the town. So would that be a raya against Rabbi Akiva? That, I mean, what is he gaining by saying, oh, I told you? Because I mean, and this leads, I mean, you know, this leads to some people where they hear it, but and then they look at their lives and they say, no, I don't see it was the top of it. So if you don't see it, you shouldn't say it. Why do you say it before and then have to justify it afterwards? Why should that be? So I think a similar idea over here. You see, the idea that the universe is designed for good is something which is a philosophical truth. But it's one thing to state it philosophically. It's another thing for a person to be able to look at their lives and to see instances of it. And that is a tremendous challenge, because the human experience is such is that, again, like the Rambam was saying, we're focused on our taivas, and that so to speak, it blinds us, and we can't see other things, and we just assume based on this narrow, you know, tunnel vision we have, based on our limited perspective. I think what Rabbi Akiva was—he wasn't using this as a raya. Well, look, because we were saved, now that means it was l'talavid. He's using it as an instance that there are instances in a person's life where you can actually see the good in how these things work, even though what happened at the time that you experienced them, how do you feel? You feel like it's a bad. See, that's his point. His point is that when you look back at events, oftentimes you should be able to look back and say, my perspective at the time was very limited because I felt a certain way about it. But if I'm able to step back and see a bigger picture, oftentimes there are a lot of benefits that a person can see that you might not have seen before. So Rabbi Akiva was just pointing out, here we have an opportunity to see benefits. In another situation, it might be other benefits. But the point is, again, we make the statements, oh, it's all for, you know, the top of it. It's not supposed to be, if you will, just like a statement just out of emunah. Of course, there is an emunah element to it, but a person should seek to see it. And that's what David HaMelech was saying with Hashem Roi Lo Achzar. Yeah. It reminds me, you know, what Rabbi said. I think it's in the weasel and the pitch urim where he's talking about, like, you know, when we talk about Ashkacha, he said the danger is that people read the Rambam's theory of Ashkacha, but they live their lives like an Aristotelian, as if Ashkacha doesn't exist. There's only Ashkacha, but then they live. He says, but that's not appropriate. He says, if a person appreciates the Ashkacha as a reality, you have to be able to look as much as possible, and there's a science to the study of how you see it. That's what I'm saying, a similar idea over here. A person has to look to see the expressions of these ideas in their lives in order to make it real. Okay. So just going back now to the other two shitos, okay, about Rabbi Tarfon and Halal HaGadol. Because again, everybody agrees that Halal HaGadol is to be said. Again, that's Perek Kuf Lamed Vav. When they have a machlokes, do you include Perek Kuf Lamed Hey? Or do you even go back to Shir HaMalos? Again, I'm suggesting it's Kuf Lamed Dal. If you look at Kuf Lamed Hey, it looks very similar to Kuf Lamed Vav. Very similar. Okay. Now it starts off, okay, giving praise to Hashem. Okay. In fact, Pasuk Gimel, Haluka Kitov Hashem, Zamru Lishmo Kinayim. But then it goes into Ki Yaakov Bachar Lo Yah Yisrael Skulas. That Hashem has chosen Kal Yisrael. Okay, to be his treasured. Okay. And then he says, Ki ani yadati, I know Ki Gadol Hashem, Hashem is great. V'adoneinu mikol elohim, and he is our master above all gods. Okay, all the other, or either gods or the notions of gods or angels. Kol asher chafetz, anything that Hashem wants, Hashem also b'shamayim v'aretz. Okay, and then it's, so you have these natural phenomena. Now in Pasuk Ches, it goes into Mitzrayim. Okay, Shehika b'chori Mitzrayim yadav nehema sholach ososu mosim b'sochechi Mitzrayim b'faro u'b'chol avadav. So it follows a similar pattern, and it talks about some of the wars we had, and then it says v'natzon arsom nachala Yisrael amo. I mean, these are words you'll find in Kuf Lamed Vav. Okay, but of course, there's one thing that's noticeably missing here that you don't have in Kuf Lamed Vav. You don't have Kili Olam Chasdo. What happened to Kili Olam Chasdo? Okay, and here it takes a turn. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, okay, it says Hashem Shimcha Liolam Hashem Zichlo Dor V'Dor Ki Yadin Hashem Amo V'Alavadav Yisnacham. Hashem will judge for his nation. He says Hashem will finally make things right. He'll bring us where we will be the ones who are living in a, everybody will see that we have the right ideas. And then it talks about the other nations, Atzebe Agayim, right? What they make, it's just the handiwork. They have a mouth, they don't speak, eyes, they don't see. Okay. And then we say, Yidches, Kimom Yosayim, just like what they make, that's the people who make them should be. Call us here with anybody who relies on it, it's nothingness. And how does the parak finish off? Base Yisrael, Barakos Hashem, Base Aaron, Barakos Hashem. Okay, Klal Yisrael, and the different parts of Klal Yisrael should give brachos, give shevach Hashem. And the last pasuk is what? Baruch Hashem Mitzion, Shochein Yushalayim. That Hashem should be, the shevach Hashem should emanate from Tzion. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, again, you have this back and forth, but it doesn't make, it starts off with nature. It goes into Yetzias Mitzrayim, but then it talks about, basically, it compares us, the contrast between us and the old day of Avodah Zarah, that what they do is nothingness, and we will be able to give Shevach Hashem Mitzion. Right, so what's going on in this parak? And again, why should this be added to the fourth or fifth kos of the Seder? Yeah. So I think, okay, I think, Mandy, now I think to bring your point, it really expresses itself here. Because the theme of this parak, okay, has to do with Klal Yisrael, okay? And again, it's ending off, right? Beis Yisrael. We should be Mevarech Hashem. And Baruch Hashem Mitzion. But over here, the emphasis is what? It is the idea, okay, that Kol Asher, Kol Asher Chafetz, okay, Hashem Asa. That anything he wants, but he's the Borei Olam, and it's the Ratzon Hashem that guides the world. And we can see that through the Bria Solom, but we also see it through the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Hashkachas Klal Yisrael. But what we say is that puts Klal Yisrael in a unique position to give Shevach Hashem and to demonstrate that idea to the world. The emphasis over here is that there's a certain chesed that Klal Yisrael has experienced, which is mechayev us to give Shevach Hashem because we've been exposed to the MS. And we have these ideas that we can demonstrate and talk about to everybody else. And ultimately, we want it to go to others. So we have the idea of that God is the Borei, that God is Mashkiach, there's Ashkacha, and we are in a unique place. That's why Ki Yodin Hashem Amo Ba'alavadav Yisnacham. Hashem's going to do it. He's going to put us in place where we will be able to show the world that we've had the truth all along. What they have is nothingness. But that creates a responsibility upon us. Beis Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. Beis Aaron, Baruch Hashem. Okay, and that's the culmination, the last line of the Tehillim. Okay, Mitzion. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Mitzion, Shochein Yushalayim. But the idea of Tzion, Shochein Yushalayim, is that when ultimately we want that the place, okay, where Chachmas Hashem emanates from, right? Ki Mitzion Seitei Torah Tzvar Hashem Yushalayim. The Chachmas Hashem will emanate from Tzion. The world will see it. And that will be the greatest expression of the Shevach Hashem. Perhaps according to that Shita in the Gemara, what he's saying is, when you're going to the philosophical, you should also include the fact that in Geulas Mitzrayim, what happened? We have a special Mechayev to play. We have a special Mechayev in giving Shevach on the universal. In bringing, because we experienced the Hashgacha, now we have to move to the universal and we have to recognize we have a mechayev to bring this idea to the world. That's really, okay, that's really the idea of in Kuf Lamed Hey. Okay? Kuf Lamed Dalet is Shir HaMalos. The parak starts, Shir HaMalos, Hine Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Ko Ovdei Hashem, okay? Okay, you should bless Hashem, all the servants of Hashem, Ha'ondim B'deis Hashem Balelos, who stand in the house of God at night, okay, during the nights. So who is this? Who is this talking about? Who are these Omdim Beveis Hashem Balilos? So some Rishonim say that Omdim Beveis Hashem refers to people who are learning. Okay, learning. So the Sforno says, Atem Tovsei HaTorah HaOmdim Beveis Hashem Gam Balilos Lasok BaTorah. Okay, but I'm going to go with the other Mefarshim. Okay, which I think is the simpler pshat that it's actually referring to the Mikdash. Beveis Hashem refers to Mikdash. Okay, the Radak says Okay, the Radak says, Okay, well, the Tirgum on the pasuk says, "Kol avdaya da Hashem, dekaimin al matros beis makdisha da Hashem, umishabchin bililvan." Okay, so it's talking about in the Beis Hamikdash, and it fits with the next pasuk. Okay, those are talking about the people that they're getting ready during the night to do the avoda. Okay, su yideichem kodesh uvarchu es Hashem. What's su yideichem kodesh referring to? So the Tirgum says, "Tu yideichem kutcha kahanaya al duchan." Okay, al duchan kutcha brichadim. Some of the siyas kapayim that the Kohanim would do in the Mikdash, and give that's the bracha. That's the bracha. Okay. And the very term shiramalos. So shiramalos refers to, right, there's 15 prakim of shiramalos to refer to the steps of the Beis HaMikdash, the 15 steps of the Beis HaMikdash. So I was thinking, this one a little more speculative, I think, but perhaps the idea of going back to Kuf Lamed Daled is to invoke the idea of Mikdash into this year, okay, into the Halah. Why? So we know already back in Oz Yashir, back in the original Shira, Mikdash is invoked, right? Mikdash Hashem Kananu Yadecha. Mikdash Hashem Kananu Yadecha. That the Mikdash is formed with Hashem's hands. Chazal say, right? Yadecha in the plural. Okay, two hands as opposed to one. See, what is the idea? Why does Mikdash have to be invoked in the Shira? So I think the idea is because ultimately, we recognize that our statement of Shevach and Shira LaHashem, there's something lacking without the Mikdash. The Mikdash was designed for you to be able to go there and to experience to experience Chachmas Hashem, but not just, there was a unique element to it. So if you remember, so Rari spoke about it in, you know, the Midrashim, that quote, that the making of the Mishkan, okay, uses the same halachos, okay, that were involved in the creation of the world, okay, and that's why the malachos of Shabbos and the malachos of Mishkan, because Mishkan and Mikdash really get their kedusha from the idea of Shabbos. It means to say is that the Chazal say that the entire world was a Mikdash for Adam Arishon. For us, the Mikdash was a way to be able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Borei Shemayim Va'aretz. And insofar as we're lacking Mikdash, we're lacking that avenue. We have less access to that idea, to that concept. The idea of having Mikdash in the Hallel is to show that we're still missing something. We still reflect that there's a more ultimate state in which we'll be able to express this idea properly. So I was thinking, perhaps according to this Shita, the reason why you go back to Shir HaMalos is because in this statement of No Sein Lechem Mechol Basar Kidam Chasdo, Hodi L'Kel HaShemayim Kidam Chasdo, when we're reflecting on Hallel Gadol, we want to bring to mind that even this, we're saying it and we appreciate it, but we recognize there's still a greater level. There's still a greater level to appreciate this and to say it, and that would be with Mikdash. So we include that in the Shir, and again, similar to Az Yashir, it's invoked over here to bring that idea to make it part of the Hal. Okay, I think that they're all like building, they're just expanding. They're expanding more. That's right. I think that's very good what you're saying. I think Rebbe said that the idea of lechem ani, that it's the poor man's bread, because it's a funny thing. We're leaning as we eat the lechem ani. So I think he said, similar to what you're saying, he said, because the real experience of cheiros is like the Mam said about David Melech, okay, that a person sees himself as an ani insofar as what? They're purely relying on Kadosh Baruch Hu. They don't need anything else. They don't need anything else. They just have all they need is the basics. And I think you're right. I mean, just with matzah, ultimately, the person could be satisfied. It's a beautiful statement what the Malbim says about David HaMelech, that with all the luxuries he has, he says that he was rodef. Like, he wanted that Hashem should end the malchus so he could just go back to his life of solitude. It's an amazing image of what a real gadol, how he experiences the royalty, the luxuries of malchus, and at the end of the day, he would throw it away in a second just to be somebody who would be able to sit and be by himself. You know, basically just to be known as Miras Yisrael and just to be involved in Shevach Hashem.